This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Massimo Capoccia of Infor.
Thank you. At Infor, I'm the SVP for InforOS, and I lead an initiative worldwide. We have a team with development, product management. We define the strategy, we develop that, and we deliver that to the cloud.
One of the big announcements here this week has been the introduction of the Coleman AI Digital Assistant and the fact that the Coleman AI platform will come during next year. Where do you see other additions in the near future for yourselves?
The Coleman AI platform has three major categories that we're working on. The digital assistant, which we have just released. We're working on the platform, which allows you to take all the data sets from our data lake and then provide with machine learning, then use that for your business process. The next one that we're working is with multimedia recognition. I call it multimedia because it's not only image recognition, but it's also video and sound recognition as well. And that allows actually to combine more intelligence to our cloud suite. Imagine that you have an asset that is actually on the top of a building. You want to send a drone. You may get the IoT reading from this asset. So you may already predict that the asset is going to fail. But adding and augmenting a picture of the asset, which it's not reachable because it's on the top of a building or is somewhere in the desert, making a picture and video, you can see also the outside functioning of the assets. And then with the machine learning, combining with the other readings, you allow to have better decisions for that asset and do the maintenance as well. The image, the multimedia recognition is one of the big best things that we are doing.
Coleman has been a wholly Infor effort. It's not acquired technology. It's not something you went and bought in from elsewhere. When we look at the challenges of image recognition, there's a lot of companies playing in this space and they're all struggling. They're struggling with the complexity of images. They're struggling with measurements of an image. You've put five items next to each other, you can tell how big they are. If you only take an image of one, you don't know where it sits on a scale. Are you going to work with a third party, such as a university or somebody, to help develop this solution?
InforOS is built by Infor, but we do leverage a lot of open source technologies and we run on Amazon. That means that we use also frameworks that are available in Amazon. For instance, for digital system, we use the Amazon Lex. For the machine learning, we use the SageMaker for the machine learning and the training model. For image recognition, we use also Amazon technologies that are very good on the image side, on the multimedia, as I was talking about. But we also looking for technology that do document scanning as well. You get a lot of the invoices, you want to scan, recognize, and put it automatically in the ERP system. The machine learning wants to recognize all the formats in the languages, if there is handwriting and maybe some changes as well on the invoices. This is the biggest thing that we're providing. We build it and we assemble also from open source as well. That's our core strategy, actually.
When you talk about document scanning there, that's quite a complicated area. People think it's simple. You simply put it through a scanner, it OCRs, and there's the answer. But it's not so simple when you're trying to extract data and put it into a system. Context matters. Language matters. You could look at something that's American English, British English, Australian English, Canadian English, and colloquialisms and differences will show up in the document. When you're trying then to understand context, even spellings of the same word, that can be a difficult one. What are you doing that's going to make that easier for companies and improve the accuracy?
The technologies for that type of issues, like a localization, is it a Z or an S, something like that, they're still not there. It's a full in development. So we are monitoring technologies to see if, okay, we take an open source library or maybe Amazon has something. It's still in full development. So image recognition, multimedia recognition, and document recognition, that's something very new. On the digital assistant and machine learning, the technologies are pretty good there too, and they will evolve. But on that side, we are new. So we are trying to make for our customers to, at least for a language, to recognize a format as much as possible. We do two things, actually. We take the data out of the invoice and we insert that in the ERP automatically, so the record comes in the ERP. But what we also do, we take that the same document and we created a PDF document and we attach that document to the transaction. So when you go back to the ERP, you see, oh, there is a new invoice. And in context, which is our InforOS, it allows you to see things in context, you see the documents associated with that. So you can see the business data, but also the document management format as well. So that's what we're doing today. But the recognition will have to go through a lot of machine learning before it takes all these flavors. It's so difficult.
One of the interesting things about Coleman Digital Assistant is that voice is going to be one of your primary drivers. And interestingly, you've decided to call them skills rather than tasks. But voice itself can also be quite challenging. Regional accents, colloquialisms. We know our history of voice recognition is that discrete speech works. Natural speech becomes a little hit and miss. How far can you extend that natural speech?
That's a very good question. Today, Amazon Lex, it does English, German, and Spanish, so they are actually extending the languages. If you look at the InfoOS team, it's a very diverse team. We have, I'm not a native English speaker, but we do have people from the UK, from the US, but we have also people from India, so with just another accent on English. But actually, the technology does a very good job to find this flavor. So if you are on the English, let's say, our experience is very, very good. We don't do only voice, per se, on a digital assistant. Actually, our vision is to bring what we call conversational UX or user experience to the ERP, where you really speak to the applications or you chat to the applications. It means that, like, you use your iMessage, your WhatsApp, what we use more in Europe, I can ask questions, but I can speak to it. I see younger people more now putting in WhatsApp or iMessage like voice messages. My kids does that. I don't do that. I do more text messaging. With Coleman Digital Assistant, you can do the text messaging. So you don't need per se to speak. You can also type the questions. And then that for sure is almost like a 99% error free, because the language or the typing is recognized. When you speak to it, what we find out also, that it's very important that you are in a quiet environment. Maybe you are in an office that is not very quiet because there are colleagues speaking. That's a challenge, though, getting recognized. So it's more the environment that is a challenge than the natural accent or dialects.
How will you deal with security on voice? One of the common fun tricks is to walk into somebody's house and go, Alexa, how much is a pound of sugar? Alexa, order sugar. Once we get into a business sense, we really do have to think now carefully about security. Because if we have a skill that allows something to be ordered, or a skill that allows a task to be done, and that task affects other parts of the business, we don't just want somebody walking in and making those decisions. Now, that might not seem a bit of a stretch for people when you think about it carrying out in an office, but your plan is to actually start using some of the Amazon hardware to have this so that people can be working at home and other places to use this. That opens up all sorts of challenges and risks, not just the recognition, but also how many people are involved, background noise, where's it coming from?
Absolutely a good question. And by the way, if you see last 2 years on YouTube or other events, you see demos of people demoing something, speaking to Alexa or any device, and they get some information. All cool, but actually it's not really integrated. The fact that we're building Coleman on top of InfoOS allows us to tap into the same security model that we have in the cloud suite. And that's actually one of the differentiators of InfoOS. It brings the security model, the roles management, the users management, the access in one single place. What happens now when you speak to a device, it doesn't matter if it is Alexa or any other device, specifically for those devices, we're actually doing two-factor authentication. So when you ask a question, you have to enter a PIN in your mobile, or you have to have a signature, or tap yes or no. So there will be an extra security model where the device will recognize, okay, this is really Massimo, because if someone maybe even can mimic my voice, there are people and they can do that. Voice recognition is not good enough. So you have to have this two-factor or three-factor authentication where the device really think, okay, this is Massimo, and the question that it asked, it's valid and I can retrieve that information. In the API layer, when you ask a question, Alexa or the Lex framework will tap into our framework, in API framework, and the API, they are totally integrated with our security framework. That's our way to do it, and we believe you have a very secure model. All the demos I'm seeing on all the social media side, it's cool demo, but you cannot roll it out to the enterprise. It's good for home, but when it comes to the enterprise and you have really secure data, like you have a financial data with people or HCM data with salaries, you don't want someone come in and ask a salary of the CEO. It has to be a secure thing.
There's another side to that as well, though. We know that many of the voice systems are continuously on. They have to be on there waiting for commands, they're listening for things. When we look at other people's digital assistants, they're tied to a telephone, they're tied to a device where they've got to activate the device to start that part of the conversation. If you're going to go down the idea of a device sitting on a table, such as a little box sitting there that's listening all the time, there will be conversations, information it gathers. That information we know is transmitted. How are you going to adapt those? Are people going to just go and buy their Alexa from Amazon, stick it in the office and connect it? Or will there be a specific addition that, let's say, adds encryption to that whole channel to take everything away so there's no risk of anything going?
No, the trend that I'm seeing, like you have on mobile, we will need a mobile device management, like you have a mobile device management capabilities, where I think people will not take their Alexa from home because Alexa is connected to an Amazon account, and that Amazon account that needs to be connected to the enterprise account. That we can do. Companies will roll it out their own Alexa. Maybe they have a corporate account, and then we'll connect that corporate account with a single person that speaks. That's what I believe. And I believe also that we'll have a mobile device management where we know exactly where the device is, who it's assigned to, so we can update the firmwares and all of that. That's almost an asset management problem.
But that doesn't cover the part of the encryption, does it, for the voice that's captured? We need to make sure that's not transmitted to Amazon. We need to make sure that if it does have to go through the Amazon servers to come back, that has to be a wholly encrypted field. Is that part of your relationship with Amazon to build that?
Alexa for Enterprise has to be all encrypted to communication. That is also not only for communication, for APIs or other services, SageMaker, Data Lake, it's all encrypted communication.
You mentioned they're having specific devices and knowing where they were and controlling with MDM. That's great for in the office. That's great for a remote branch office. However, one of the big things that Infor likes to talk about is the number of people who work remotely, work from home. Yeah. No company is going to go out and buy 1,000 Amazon Alexas, pledge them to the system, and then control them from the MDM. They're going to assume that people will use these at home because they have the device. How do you update the firmware in those remote devices? How do you manage those remote devices? So if they simply say, Alexa, use my playlist, it goes through Amazon, as opposed to Alexa, create a purchase order when it comes through you.
That's something that we are still looking at, how the deployment will be. When we started with mobile phone, people had the corporate mobile phone. Now everybody is on a BOD, bring your own device. So I have my own mobile phone, but I still run the Infor apps. It will come to that point where you will have your own Alexa. In the beginning, companies will not really trust to just bring in, okay, bring your own Alexa, but we will get there. For people working at home, we will have the mobile applications where you can tap to talk in their mobile applications. You can have also in the browser. You allow the microphone of your laptop to be on, and then you can speak also into the browser. We have a special button on top of our Infor OS where you can access, and anytime you can talk to the system. There is plenty of option to talk to until we figure out a deployment at home for Alexa.
How do you take that to the next step? At the moment, we already work with the idea of voice being interpreted, but one of the challenges that's been there for a long time is turning voice into text. In a lot of business meetings, I remember in the late 1980s, sitting down with IBM and looking at the very first speech-to-text systems. Those systems still struggle today with natural speech. I can see this solution going into a boardroom or into a meeting, a collaboration meeting with a client, and somebody expecting to not just capture 4, 5, 6 voices, but the potential of people talking over each other, but then wanting a transcript from that. Is that part of your expansion here?
No, the digital assistant for now focus more on the business conversations, but not like a meeting, grabbing a meeting notes. It's more like, okay, I got business questions I ask for my work in my tasks, but the one I'm talking to behind is Coleman, which is an AI skill that taps into some information in a business system. That's the conversation line. That's the sequence of conversation. If the digital system will be able also to be intelligent enough to take a transcript for a meeting, maybe, but that's not our first focus. Our focus is to bring a conversational UX, user experience, to our end users so that when they need to know something, they don't need to go and click 50 times to go around and figure it out something. They can just ask Coleman, and Coleman figure it out and comes with the immediate question. So that's really our goal. It's really user productivity and conversational UX.
One of the interesting things yesterday talking with Rick Ryder was the fact that it creates a flowchart for you. You can see what it's doing. You can correct that flowchart. Something which, and I talk to a lot of companies putting in AI, something which is a rarity, the ability to see what's happening at a transparency level. It makes it much more accessible for users. But how do you take the step beyond that into more self-learning? For example, I want to do things on a regular basis. I try and teach it, but actually there's a point behind the scenes where it could be listening to what I do. It could say, well, hang on, you do this task 10 times a day. Would you like me to create a skill for you? And then it builds what it believes to be the basic flowchart. You can correct it. You can educate it. Is that something that's going to be happening?
Just to give you a very important point for people or a corporation that works for AI, for running AI, you need a couple of pillars. You need a data lake or some repository where you have a lot of data so that you can do machine learning. You need an API layer because you have to tap into the applications, and you need a security layer. If you have those, and if you have orchestrations on top of that, then you can take the automation that if something happens and needs to happen, then this flowchart that you were talking about, the automation, you can model that, and then Coleman can execute it. very important that in our InfoOS, like other vendors may have only an integration platform, or more vendors that are in the RPA area, they are more workflow oriented, we have both for them. What it means that you can introduce AI in the way that before Coleman finds out something and go and execute an automation, nobody knows what happens. You can put a workflow in between and have humans look at it. As you gain more trust, like, okay, Coleman is now making really good decision. Every time I say, yes, this is good, this is good, this is good, you can remove those steps and then make it fully automatically. That we can do already today. The one thing that we are looking also is the recording function, recording things the users, maybe we didn't think about. Maybe we start AI, maybe with a business issue to improve operational efficiency. Maybe there are things that the AI will discover itself by recording features, you know, by looking at the behavior of the people and say, well, I'm seeing this. Should I do that for you? I call it more the recording features. People may say, you know, not the stalking features, but the recording features. That's actually where the advantages will be, that we don't know yet everything. And AI, everybody says, oh, yeah, we know everything. We don't know everything. We're just discovering as we go. But I believe the recording feature will be one of the major differentiators as a next gen AI. The AI will figure it out things and will tell you, hey, I can do this also for you if you want. And you thought, oh, I didn't think about that. And, oh, that's good. Yeah, you can do that. And you can say, well, I don't trust you in the beginning, so I'll put some human task in between, like some workflow. And then when I trust you, boom, you can do that automatically.
One of the conversations I've been having with DevOps companies, such as Atlassian and yeah. CloudBees, is how do we take DevOps and put DevOps into a wider part of the organization, specifically to better understand process? And more importantly, if we're going to be companies that change and adapt constantly, we can't have processes we used to have 30 years ago. This has got to be process that is constantly evolving. It seems to me, when I'm listening to you here talking about the digital assistant, that one of the potentials here is, as a user's explaining what they want and building a skill, Coleman can go along and actually say, well, hey, this is your process. That can then be stored in a repository. It can be replicated across the organization. It can be audited. It can be controlled. At the moment, there's no mention of that because we've only just announced the digital assistant. Is that on the product plan, or will that wait until we get the AI platform?
No, there is a lot of, let's say, monitoring and transparency and data lineages also on the digital assistant. When we have the AI platform, then we can use the AI platform to monitor the digital assistant activities as well, and then figure out efficiencies and what we can do. They're both going to need each other. Now the digital assistant is very good to go in, ask questions, I get answers back. I'm going to get more and more efficient in my work. That's really the first phase. Second phase, we are going to attach the AI pass. We will monitor the machine learning, because the good thing in the AI pass, it will not monitoring also the business data. We're going to have IoT data. We're going to have collaborations, posts, chats, documents, all kind of other data, and we can correlate them into, okay, there is a sentiment here for a customer, there is some person that figured out how to solve a problem, let me suggest or record the function and do it. That will really go to the next phase.
There becomes another issue with this, and that's privacy and personal data, because while we're gathering this data, somebody may simply say, as you suggested earlier, what is a CEO's salary? Or send this to a home address, or here's some other data on a customer. How do you train the digital assistant? Or again, is this something we'll have to wait for till we see the full platform next year? How do you train Coleman to be able to differentiate what is privacy data, what data is recognized by GDPR, so bringing compliance into its rules so that it secures that data and in fact warns us if we're making a mistake?
If you look at our type of data that we have, we are not in the B2C. It's not like I have my Gmail account or my Facebook account, but we are in the B2B more area. What we have done in GDPR, for sure, in our HCM system, where you have the employee record, that has to be monitored. It's up to the company to decide, I'll build a skill on top of our employee record, and I'm going to decide which data I'm going to unveil or through the digital assistant. There is going to be a filter around that, and definitely we have to roll out the best practices to the company and say, don't build a skill where you have a full access, but it's going to be a restricted access to that, and you put role management and security on top of that, then you can restrict by the person, by the region, by the country, by the HR manager, and so on. That it requires really, for the GDPR, the sensitive data, it requires a little bit more rollout, like any rollout for sensitive data. I had the questions like, okay, if I have things in documents, you know, in for us we have document management, how do I deal with documents that have this data? It's just a best practice is how you implement the skills. We really have to train our customers to do it in a proper way, because you don't want to expose this data immediately. A lot of skills will be around informational only, but then more attached to a business process or to a customer or a supplier. but not personal data, which technically you can do, but we will say probably let's start with a business process issue, then an employee record, and see how that works. Because the thing is, with a lot of AI and RPA projects, at the end of the day, you see them failing because they don't see the efficiency yet. So we want to win the customers and convince the customer that AI is the future by showing them that there is an operational efficiency. That's the way you win. And then expand from there. And hopefully the technologies of AI will evolve as well, and we can do more things.
We've spoken almost exclusively about Coleman in the last 20 minutes, but I opened this by asking a question about your technology stack. So let's close with that. When you look at your technology stack at the moment, where do you see your weaknesses that perhaps you've got to do more work internally? Or even, where do you see yourself needing to make an acquisition to fill out your current plans?
We don't have any acquisition plans per se on technology. We like to own our, we call it platform, but I call it more an application technology platform. It just sits in between the cloud suite and the applications and the bare technology like databases or operating system. We're just in between. We just that layer that enables you to build an application that runs in the cloud. I would say weaknesses, which we actually were working already, is external users. It's a very, very important concept that we have the capabilities to invite external users and then make them participate also in the special business process. Maybe you can give them a homepage with like a supplier portal and they can use their own account. You could give the digital assistant for certain skills for the external user when they log in or they have the mobile app. They can ask questions to our own digital assistant. External users, it's one. And the other is really we just released an SDK for our Ion integration where we want our partners to build a lot of connectors. We have already a lot of connectors, but I would love to have more connectors on many applications so that InfoRes becomes not a per se technology that comes with the InfoRes, but a technology that corporation will select like, okay, this could be my platform for middleware, collaboration, AI, and so on. The one thing that, speaking to the analyst, is, okay, where do we put InfoRes in which quadrant? Yeah, it does iPaaS. Oh, okay, it does collaboration. Yeah, it does AI. It does data lake. It does security. We are not in one magic quadrant, but we fit in all of them. It's actually a digital transformation platform, to use some buzzword that people use today, but it's really a complete platform, and we should be in all the magic quadrants, almost.
Massimo, it's been great talking to you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ian.